And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Now, mindfulness teaches us to direct our attention to what is happening right here and right now. And right now on the phone, I'm talking to Jackie Ryan. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Hi, how are you, Debbie?
I'm not too bad. How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Now, it's all mindfulness this morning. So tell us a little bit about it and the benefits of mindfulness.
Well, as you said, Debbie, there, that mindfulness is living in the present moment. And as human beings, that is very difficult and challenging for us to do with all the constant chatter and distractions that we have. So it's also very important to live in the present moment from a non-judgmental perspective. And again, because of the way we live, we tend to be constantly judging our present moment from our past experiences or imagining our future experiences. Mm-hmm. So by practicing mindfulness, it helps us live in the present moment and be aware of the positives that we do have in the moment that we are living, in the actual moment of the lived experience. So the benefits of mindfulness would be really about improving your health and well-being. It's about managing your stress, relieving stress, lowering blood pressure. It improves your sleep. It improves your immune system. So there are many, many benefits. And it also talks about the neuroplasticity of the brain. So mindfulness was always thought of being an Eastern philosophy, but science has begun to study the practice of mindfulness and meditation. And these benefits now are evidence-based to show that by practicing a few moments of mindfulness daily, or consistently more so, reap such health benefits.
And Jackie, I think here in Ireland anyway, we're more kind of accepting holistic type of medicine like mindfulness, aromatherapy, reflexology, and but some people do say to me, when I've done a lot of interviews on all the holistic remedies and therapies, how do I actually do it? It just seems very hard. I can't relax. I can't focus. I don't know how, and will I be able to practice mindfulness? Is it very hard to kind of just, you know, get into it and practice it? And will it work for me?
Well, it will work for everybody. And you are dead right, Debbie. It is difficult and challenging because, you know, how many times do you say, okay, I'm going to give myself a moment and not go near your phone? Right?
Exactly.
So it's about, yeah. So it's, and our minds are often our thoughts. We have 80,000 thoughts a day, and 60,000 thoughts a day, and 80% of those are negative. So what we need to do is, first, I would always say, if you want to practice mindfulness, start with conscious breathing. That's the first step. So start to practice some conscious breathing exercises. So, for instance, a few weeks ago, I ran stress management for the Jobs Club and also for Glantis, a tech company, a global tech company. And I just showed people and demonstrated to people on Zoom and Microsoft Teams the art of consciously breathing and taking control of your breath. And by simply practicing that, you're turning on the parasympathetic and nervous system, which is the opposite of the stress response. It's the relaxation response.
Okay.
So if you take a few moments to practice that conscious breathing, your body starts to slow down. You start to become, feel it calm. And just by then practicing that in those few moments, I think it was about 15 minutes that we did the practice, they felt the benefits already.
So how do you breathe properly? I know a lot of us don't breathe. We're breathing from our chest, where we should be really breathing from our our stomachs.
Yeah, so when you breathe deeply, what happens is that the diaphragm expands and the abdomen area then opens, and you feel as if you're breathing from the abdomen. So so what we need to start practicing is, for instance, I would start saying to people, okay, I want you to inhale through your nose for 6. Now, sometimes this might be challenging for people, but if you start to inhale, and imagine it's about really taking that inhalation and bringing it deep into the lungs so that the diaphragm expands and causing the abdomen to rise and fall like you would see when a baby is sleeping. Mm. And as you practice that for a few moments, the body, in the nervous system, it automatically turns on the relaxation response in the body. So it does take a bit of practice, but when you make the conscious effort, you will see how it works. And it depends. Sometimes I tell people to try, rather than doing that type of, I would ask people to imagine a triangle and to draw the triangle in their mind's eye, breathing up the triangle for 6, exhaling down the triangle for 6, and pausing for 4. And this, again, is a technique that is used to help you become aware of your breath. And different breathing techniques will work for different people.
Yeah. As I said, when you inhale, some people say, well, it costs me to panic because I feel I'm hyperventilating. This is what I have done so many interviews, and some people, it just doesn't suit when they have to do the breathing exercises because they feel their breathing gets kind of quicker and they start hyperventilating a bit. So what do you say about the triangle? That's a good one.
Well, first of all, I would look at, see if the person has a habit of breathing in through their mouth. If you're breathing in through the mouth, it's an automatic reaction for your brain to go into panic mode. So it's very important to practice inhaling through the nose. That's the first thing I would be looking at. And then sometimes if people do have, say that they're panicking, attacking from breathing, then I would look and say, okay, well, let's look at the thoughts. So it's also about our default mode of negative thinking. So rather than doing the breathing, perhaps a good way for a person starting with that end would be, okay, what are your thoughts during the day? Become self-aware of our thoughts. Science now says that we need at least 5 positive thoughts to negate 1 negative thought. So then I would have a conversation with the person and say, okay, well, What are your thoughts throughout your day? Before you have the panic attack, what are you thinking? What you're going to? What are your triggers? So that would be really important. So, for instance, you have a negative thought. Something happens. Maybe you have an argument with a customer or something. How many people do you tell? When you finish your day, you're still going over that negative thought, aren't you? That experience, right? But we've had many positive experiences in our day, but we don't spend as much time on that positive experience. So that's why science says we need to go in with that feeling of positivity and take it into the body like we do the negative. Mm. So, for instance, beautiful sunrise. How often do we remember that beautiful sunrise that we've seen during the day, or having that first cup of coffee and the experience of all of those positive things that we just take for granted in our lives?
Exactly.
But
yeah.
One negative thing, one thing, and we talk about it with so many people, we actually go to bed with it sometimes instead of really, really focusing. So it's about then changing that default mode of negative thinking.
And is that hard to do, Jackie? Like, if you have this negative thought in your head and it's become like, as you probably even a habit, oh, I feel this and I feel that, and you want to change your way of thinking to not feel that negative thought, is it hard to kind of do that?
Well, what I would say to people is, look, the way we think has formed pathways in our brain, and I always try and explain it in a very simple way. Imagine you walk out your door and you have a garden shed over the grass, and you walk down to your garden shed every day, and you formed a pathway on that grass to your garden shed, and that's the way you go. It's the same in our brain. It's the default. So in order to have that pathway built again, we have to kind of walk that way for a few weeks to get the pathway. So it's the same with the brain. So by practicing looking at your thoughts and being aware of your thoughts and starting to change them, so focusing on the positive, right, really takes, it's not overnight. It takes a few weeks.
Mm.
It takes a couple of weeks to change. So, and you might, you know, go back into your old way of negative thinking, but when the thought patterns that you have, neurons that fire together, wire together. So the thoughts that you think wire your brain together. So that's why, be aware of, if you have one negative thought, let's think of 5 positive things that you do have. So it takes a bit of time, but it's investing in yourself. Mm. Like, some people take better care of their cars than they would themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
It's about taking that time for you.
Is it kind of like cognitive behaviour therapy, kind of changing your way of thinking and trying to, as you say, think more positive than negative? That is kind of like changing your way of thinking as well.
Yes. It that's where it has its basis in, is cognitive-based therapy. Yeah. So it's all connected.
It's all connected, you know,
and it's all connected. It's looking at the person and seeing what works for them. And so say for the person that doesn't want to do the breathing, well, you look at thoughts and how they're thinking and their default mode of negativity, and you explain to them. But also, I would also, what's really, really important is other science that says a belief about something is really important. So if you believe you can't do something, well, guess what? You're right.
Mm,
right?
True, yeah.
And so so it's the same thing. So if you believe that you're going to panic when you have do conscious breathing, well, then you're right. So it's explaining to the person, look, whatever you believe, is what your reality is going to be. Because your mind doesn't think, oh, that's just Jackie, you're imagining that. Your mind actually reacts as if that's happening. So the person that has panic attacks when they're thinking about doing the breathing, it's about them realizing this is a learned behavior from a previous experience.
Yeah.
And recognizing that in order to change that, you need to practice different techniques and change the neural pathways in the brain. It's about neuroplasticity. Like, science used to think that you couldn't change the structure of the brain. But now they're saying you exercise the brain the way you exercise your body.
Okay.
And you do that. Well,
that makes sense,
yeah.
That makes sense. So, but there is a bit of work in it, and you have to work on it. So, but everyone can do it.
Yes, everyone can do it. And by consciously making the effort, then it becomes your default mode.
Okay. So, Jackie, tell us... go ahead.
It takes a certain amount of time to create negative and the pathways. So, therefore, it takes a bit of effort and a bit of time to change the way you think. Yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about... you said you did a workshop for Glantis. Now, during this COVID-19, a lot of people are stressed. They really are. It's the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? So, this... really would be a very important if they could get their minds working in the right way and change their negative thoughts, would help a lot of people through this.
Yes, it would. So with Glantis is a company Northside Partnership work with. We work with job seekers, and Glantis would have hired a number of people from our programs. And what Glantis were doing as an organization, a global organization, during COVID-19, they brought in this mindful hour or mindful half hour each week for people working in Ireland, working in Europe, and working in the States. And each week they discussed techniques on mindfulness. But the one thing I would always say to people, I don't care if you read a book on mindfulness or you have read loads of books on mindfulness and meditation and all that, what's really important is the practice of it. So by me sitting here telling you, look, breathe into your abdomen and do triangular breathing and understand that, it's not going to help you manage the stress that you're feeling during COVID. It's about taking that time, that 15, 20 minutes or half hour, to practice your breathing, to be aware of your thoughts, to focus on 5 positives and really take in that positive feeling. So for that half hour, I discussed perhaps some of their negative thoughts that they were going through, maybe with customers, having to call a customer because they mightn't have reached their expectations for the customer, and then getting them to change what they were expecting from the customer and how to think in a more creative, solution-orientated way. So that would have been some of the practice I would have done with them. And then we did 20 minutes of breathing techniques through Microsoft Teams. And yes, they did find it very beneficial. So it's about the practice. So they, Glantis have now brought in a time, a well-being time into their week where they practice each week some techniques. And it's about that structure for yourself as an organization or as a person to start to sprinkle these types of techniques throughout your day. It's like taking, you get up in the morning, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you have a cup of coffee. So for instance, I get up in the morning, I would practice the sun salute, I would do some yoga, I would practice breathing exercises. So I began sprinkling them throughout my day many years ago, and it just becomes a habit. And at Northside Partnership as well, we have wellness weeks and wellness walks, which is really, really important for not only for people as an individual, but for where you work. It's very important to have recognized that mindfulness and the practice of well-being is important for all staff and for people as individuals.
Maybe we should have it in the workplace, even 1 hour a week to practice a mindfulness, you know, just have that an hour a week just to kind of have it to yourself and the mindfulness. But Jackie, tell us a little bit about yourself. As you said, you work with Northside Partnership and you're also a mindfulness practitioner. How did that all start?
Well, I was living in New York and I was working in property management and became very stressed. And going to doctors and, you know, suffering from depression and anxiety. Yeah. And I remember the doctor saying, oh, you know, probably this medication is good for you. And I went, oh my God. So I decided I started to study yoga. So I began starting to study yoga, mindfulness, meditation, and became a yoga practitioner and teacher, a stress management consultant, a life skills consultant. So while I was working in real estate property management over there, so to speak, I began studying yoga, meditation, and mindfulness. And then by having that for myself, seeing the benefits of that for myself and how it changed my own life, I moved back to Ireland and began my own business, teaching yoga, teaching others how to become life skills consultants and stress management consultants and mindfulness practitioners. So it came about through my own stress and anxiety, working in a very stressful job, and then using the techniques that I learned, staying in that job and seeing the difference and how I was able to work in a really stressful environment but manage my stress and not have those sleepless nights and not have those health issues.
So you're coming, you know what you're talking about, you've gone through this, so it's great to hear from someone who has gone through the stress you went through and where you are today. So really, as you said, it's like you have to involve it in your daily routine, like having a shower, washing your teeth, a little bit of mindfulness, even half an hour for yourself. It's really great. If there's anything coming up in Northside Partnership, like these awareness weeks, do let us know and we'll get it out there. Yeah. But it would be interesting to have that in the workplace, I think.
Yes, it would. And if you ever need me to do anything, even during COVID-19, we are doing Zoom workshops on stress management and well-being. It is part of our programs at Northside Partnership that well-being and taking care of yourself is very important. So if you even want any from us at Northside Partnership to introduce you to Athneer to the mindfulness and meditation, we do yoga at lunchtime as well.
Oh, lovely.
So there is, Northside Partnership is a really good organization because it well-being is at the forefront for everyone, and it's an advantage thinking organization which is about recognizing the skills and capabilities of individuals and groups.
Yeah, well, we could all do a little bit of that, a little bit of mindfulness, relaxation, and as I said, we're in a stressful time at the moment. But listen, thanks a million for talking to us, Jackie.
No problem, Debbie.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Okay, thank you, Jackie.
Right,
bye. And that was Jackie Ryan there from the Northside Partnership. And what she says is so true. We all need to take that time out, do a little bit of mindfulness, change our way of thinking. As she said, if you have one negative thought, have five positive thoughts. I know it seems easy to do, but it's practice and practice. I'm going to do a little bit of that myself.